T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Good morning,
Diarrhea!
It's time to wake up. It's 5, and we're live.
Oh, is this thing on? I don't care. I want him to hear.
This is the pregame show, your early morning shot of sports on 95.7. The Game.
Come on.
Yes, sir. Good morning, family. Stephen Langford in on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game, leading you up until 6 o'clock, and then the morning roast will get you started with Kate Scott, Joe the Butcher Boy Shasky, and Bonte Hill. Today's going to be a fun show. I mentioned last week, and I'm already laughing about it, probably shouldn't be doing that, but I already mentioned last week that I was going to be doing each day up until Wednesday, up until Thanksgiving, I was going to be doing a stupid power ranking every single day. Just a pointless power ranking just to kind of get us through the week and have a little fun. So today, coming up at about 5:35, 5:40, 2 weeks ago I did the power ranking for face shield wearers for head coaches. There was a little bit of controversy because I had Andy Reid ranked at number 2 and Bruce Arians ranked at number 1. Got a lot of blowback from that. Still getting tweets from my power rankings of face shield wearers. So I decided that this week we are going to do something a little more fun. We're going to go along with these dumb power rankings and continue the trend. And today is the power rankings for guys in football with their last names ending in ski. S-K-I, the letters S-K-I. So the power rankings for guys in football right now, active players with names ending in ski. That's coming up at 5:35. As always, like we like to do on Mondays, we got, you love to see it, where we go through the plays around the NFL yesterday, where you look at your screen and you just say, you love to see that. And one of those plays that's definitely won't be on there, and I'm just going to mention this now, but seeing that injury to Joe Burrow yesterday for the Cincinnati Bengals, rookie quarterback, number 1 overall pick, you never want to say this injury is sort of inevitable, because something like this never is, but the guy has been getting hit all season long, just getting destroyed back there behind that Bengals offensive line, and he didn't expect it to be this horrific or tragic. So prayers up to Joe Burrow, man. It just really stinks seeing what happened in that game. But that's coming up at 5:15. Plays that you love to see, and then want to talk about the Raiders and the Chiefs right now, though, as the Raiders, they lose 35-31 and are now 6-4 on the year, and the Chiefs move on to 9-1. Last week on Thursday night, or excuse me, on Friday, after the Seahawks and Cardinals game on Thursday Night Football, the talk was for MVP, Kyler versus Russ, Kyler versus Russ. It's all between them two right now. And I'm thinking, how can anyone forget about Mahomes? How can anyone forget about Patrick Mahomes possibly winning the MVP this year? He had 20 before this game. He had 25 touchdowns and one interception. The one interception being in Week 5 against the Raiders. But I'm like, how do you not put Mahomes in that conversation? How is nobody thinking about that? I guess it's because it's the more even though it's weird to say this, it's a more boring option as opposed to Kyler and Russ, at least just choosing those two for MVP. It's more fun to kind of choose the underdog, but I think last night solidified Patrick Mahomes' place as the MVP of football right now. And this man, just what he did in that final drive, it's nothing new. And when you're going up against a Raider team where the defense has been on, a majority of them have been on the COVID reserve list, the two main guys that didn't start in this game were Corey Littleton, who's been on the reserve COVID list since last Thursday, and then he tested positive, but he hadn't practiced all week last week, and so he wasn't expected to be in the game. And then LaMarcus Joyner, defensive back, he was put back on the COVID reserve list. He was taken off. He was activated to the team on Friday, and he was actually able to practice. So he was one of those. He was one of the 10 defensive players that was on the COVID reserve list, but then he went back on it. He was put back on it on Sunday, as reported. So he didn't play in that Sunday night game, and the defense was tired toward the end. I don't know if it was, I mean, I don't know which drive it was. I don't know if it was the 16-play drive that went for 93 yards to open up the second half. I don't know if it was the 12 plays for 91 yards a couple of possessions later. I don't know which one it was, but it only took them 7 plays to go 75 yards. It only took them a minute 15 to do so at the end of the game to go up 35-31. But I will say this about the Raiders and that game yesterday. For one, Derek Carr looked just phenomenal. 23 for 31, 275 yards. He had 3 touchdowns, and then he had that interception at the end of the game, which, you know, pretty much you didn't expect them to come back being down with 28 seconds left, and you're starting on your own 25. So not much was expected there. That interception, one of the few interceptions that he's thrown this year. He's only thrown 3 on the season, but he had a 119.7 rating. And I thought yesterday he looked about as confident as I've ever seen him. We're always going back to 2016 and the confidence that Carr played with. Sure, we can look at that, but the fact that this is legitimately Derek Carr's team and nobody else's, the confidence that I'm seeing in him right now is something that's completely different to what I've seen in the past. He's got that veteran confidence now. A guy who is making checks at the line, knowing what the defense is going to bring him. That purple walrus audible that he called with Hunter Renfrow. Dan Orlovsky did a terrific breakdown in real time of that play, but when it was 2nd and 8, you could hear him make the audible, and then the Chiefs, they made a switch on defense, and they called an audible, and then Derek Carr draws up an entirely new play, then gets a first down out of it. Hunter Renfrow, by the way, his official name, his official nickname officially is Purple Walrus, and you can't tell me anything different. But he just looked like he had total command out there and knew exactly. He was just taking what the defense was giving him and doing whatever he wanted. If it wasn't for a couple of drops, his stats would have looked better. I don't think those drops had much to do as far as the outcome of the game. If I had to choose a couple of them, I like to do this on the Raider podcast that I do on Black Hole Sundays, a new episode coming out later today. But the only call that I'd say, now the drops, I don't know if they made a huge difference. Maybe we can look at that Nelson Agholor one when they had to, after the Chiefs punted and the Raiders were coming back and it was 3rd and 5 and, 2nd and 5. And Agholor misses that one. And then in the second half following, the Chiefs punt, and then Agholor misses another one on 3rd and 4. And then the Chiefs go on to score a touchdown and they go up 28-24 in that game. But we can't so much look at the drops, but that play in the first half where the game was tied 14-14. It was the Raiders' 2nd possession, and Bryan Edwards goes up for a goal line fade, misses it. For one, I just hate the fade. I hate the goal line fade. It doesn't work. Used to love it because it was an exciting play at times, just watching a guy moss another guy. I used to enjoy watching that, but it just doesn't work anymore. And when it's third and goal and they're at their own one, instead of running the football in, which you probably should have done, instead you draw up the goal line fade. Bryan Edwards misses it. Then the team gets mad because there was a pass interference call, the non-PI call, rather, that wasn't called on Edwards. The sideline gets mad, yells at the ref because they already know that they got that wrong PI call earlier on in the game. So they come back, and then it's 4th and 16. They got to kick the field goal instead of going for it on 4th of 1, which they could have done. I thought that could have changed the entire complexity of the game. So I'm not going to so much blame the drops, but in the end, it's normally what we've seen from the Raiders. Derek Carr plays well enough to win, and the defense just can't close it out. But here's the biggest difference. We have seen that story before, but not against a team like the Kansas City Chiefs. Not against a team that's 8-1 and 4-0 in away games. You don't see the Raiders going toe-to-toe with teams that are dominant like that. And I think if you are a Raider fan, you should look at that game, and I think you should come away with it. There are no moral victories in the NFL because you need to get the wins whenever you can get them. But the fact that they went toe-to-toe with the Chiefs, I think, should at least give you a little hope if they manage to make the playoffs. And coming up a little later on, we'll go through the AFC and the NFC and the playoff picture because the Raiders, they got a tough road ahead if they want to make it in with the Chiefs atop the AFC West, and they are at 6-4. But there are a couple of plays that I just wanted to mention. It was the tight end show. Because not only did Patrick Mahomes have an incredibly good game, 34 for 45, 348 yards, a couple of touchdowns, and then that interception, which was just a miscommunication between him and the wide receiver, Trayvon Mullen, getting it in the end zone. But Travis Kelce, 8 receptions, 127 yards, 1 touchdown. He got those on 10 targets. That's just a dude you can go to in any second and long, third and long situation, and you can take advantage. And he proves yet again why he is one of the 3 best tight ends in the NFL. We were seeing 2 of them. Last night between Waller and Kelce. I think Waller's already established himself in the top 3. And by the way, Chris Collinsworth, you're not telling us anything new with Darren Waller, okay? We know how good Darren Waller is. Everybody knows how good Darren Waller is. Just because the Raiders haven't played on Sunday Night Football in a very long time, it doesn't mean you have to mention, oh yeah, we forget about this guy Waller. He's one of the most underrated players in the league. If you play fantasy and you even pay attention a little bit, I think a lot of NFL fans know who Darren Waller is. But Travis Kelce, just an unbelievable game. And then he had that game-winning touchdown. Jonathan Abram just not really reading what Travis Kelce was doing, going after Patrick Mahomes, thinking he was going to scramble. But it was the tight end show, and I'll play a couple of highlights for you. One of them started off with Darren Waller, and if you compare this to that game-winning play for the Chiefs, and you compare this touchdown, I mean, the Chiefs had just as bad of a blown coverage.
Second down and goal from the 3. Third guy in the booth right now.
Agreed.
Second down and goal from the 3. Looking right, then left, and open, then a wide open. Waller couldn't be any more open. Touchdown, Raiders.
I don't know what the communication was. Credit NBC for the audio. I don't know what the communication was between those linebackers and the corners were, but for some reason, the linebackers decided to double-team Jason Witten. Now, you had one linebacker following him who was on Jason Witten's side, who was lined up alongside him. But the other linebacker decided to follow Jason Witten without even thinking about the other team playing zone and thinking a guy was going to help him with Jason Witten. It was really odd, and Darren Waller was wide open in the end zone just to just a well-drawn-up play by John Gruden, an even poorer play by the defense. And then this play toward the end of the game that even made it close.
Fake. Carr looking. Coverage is great. Finally throwing, and that will be caught for the touchdown by, of all people, Jason Witten.
Tano Passanio, who has the responsibility, if Witten releases, to cover a man-to-man. And it was just a veteran tight end on the back end of that thing, understanding, make sure he has the ball across the line with possession. Yes, he does. Mm-hmm. All he has to do is be anywhere on top of that line, and it's a touchdown. So Jason Witten with the penalty and makes amends.
It was a false start penalty where he tried to fool the ref and make him think that he was going in motion, but no, it was really just a false start on his part, as they were, what, basically a half inch away from the goal line, and then they ended up being called back on that false start. Just an excruciatingly torturous drive if you're a Raider fan watching that. But 35-31 was your final. Again, I feel like there's a lot that we can unpack from that game, but the biggest one, the overarching point is that the Raiders can actually compete with some of these better teams this year, as opposed to last year whenever they went on to face the Jets after that really tough road stretch and didn't do anything. So they're still in it, 6-4 on the year in a very tough AFC, and we'll see what it's looking like going forward, because coming up next, we'll go through the AFC and the NFC and the playoff picture after what happened yesterday. We got plays you'll love to see from the NFL Sunday, and then coming up later on in the show, we'll go through the best skis, the active players with their last name ending in ski in the NFL. We'll go through that next. Stephen Langford in on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford.
888-957-9570 is the Chilton Auto Body text line, as well as the phone number from the 650. Bill Romanowski is number one. What is the 650 referring to? Now, you have the right idea, 650, but coming up at 540 today, going through the list of the power rankings of, active players in football with their last names ending in ski, in S-K-I. Very specific. I'm a specific guy. Not really. But, yeah, that's what we're going with. The power rankings of guys with ski in their last name. That's coming up at 540. We got a solid list of seven here. Believe it or not, seven skis in the NFL. So we're going to go through those at 540. But today, discussing a little bit the Chiefs and the Raiders, because that was just a hell of a football game last night. And no, there wasn't much defense being played in the first half, but that wasn't as bad as the first half in week five, because by the time you're going into the second half, it was 24-24. 17-14 in the first half. Man, that was child's play for this kind of game in the first half in week five. But things are different going into week 11. You know, the Chiefs always tend to do this. We start to understand, you know, in the first few weeks, it feels like it's always the same sort of storyline. Russell Wilson needs to be an MVP candidate, kind of loses steam. Normally, Deshaun Watson would be in that conversation because Watson always has a good game, but he doesn't have any weapons around him now, so he's not putting up those MVP type of numbers. Patrick Mahomes last year wasn't really in the conversation because he got hurt for a few weeks. So now, after seeing that game last night and the Chiefs move on to 9-1 on the season, I think we can at least conclude that Patrick Mahomes is officially the favorite, I'd say, to win MVP of the league. That's just me. And we also had Lamar Jackson going last year, but we know what Lamar Jackson's doing this year. He's not playing as well. Coming up in a couple of minutes, we're going to go through the plays that you love to see from yesterday in a segment called You Love to See It. From the 510, Mike and Vallejo. I didn't like the lob at the end of the game for the interception. Carr has to know you got to put some heat on that throw. It was tough. It was tough at the end of the game, but, you know, if he would have made that catch on the sideline, who knows what could have happened, because the Raiders were so deep in their own territory with a limited amount of time left. It's not like it would have been a for sure touchdown had he completed that pass, and it's not like they would have gone on to score a touchdown. I don't want to make that hypothetical, even though you could. With a little more time left on the clock, you probably could, but the fact that there was less than 30 seconds left, I just don't know. It felt like the game was kind of lost after what Mahomes did, just making mincemeat of that Raider defense in the final drive, which is just something that you wonder, why couldn't you do that the entire game? There are a couple of drives where the Raiders looked like they actually had them. From the 5-1-0, Abram blew the game at the end playing hero ball, but a hell of a game. It was tough, and Abram is such a... He's such a reckless type of player that he play... It's what you want. You want a guy who plays without fear, a guy who's going to get in Travis Kelce's face, in Tyreek Hill's face, even though it's not warranted, right? A guy who's an agitator. You kind of need that on your team, but then when he makes a play like that where he kind of oversteps where he's supposed to go and doesn't remember that he's supposed to play zone, that's why the Raiders had such success against the Chiefs in Week 5. That's why Tyreek Hill didn't do much, because Abram wasn't playing too aggressively. He was playing it safe and staying back. And I thought I thought the chess match was just fantastic between Reed and Gruden both, because Andy Reid saw that they were only rushing three guys in Week 5 a majority of the time in the second half, when they only scored 8 points, and they were able to cover everyone downfield. But then he used the short game instead. Clyde Edwards-Helaire had a much better game in this week around. So I just thought the chess match that was going on between him and Gruden, I mean, Gruden has to be at least... I know the decisions that he's made with the personnel, sometimes it could rub people the wrong way. I'm still not ever going to be over that Khalil Mack trade, but you cannot say that he is not a good play caller. He has figured out what he wants to do with this team, and he's running with it. That opening drive, they're running with all sorts of personnel, 11, 12, 22, hell, even 13 at one point. It was just, he was mixing it up. And him and Derek Carr, it looks like they seem to have a pretty good relationship, and Carr's starting to understand the playbook. Let's just hope that at one point Henry Ruggs can begin to understand the playbook. That's the only explanation I'd have for his lack of getting any targets, as he only got one target yesterday, and he also had one rush on the jet sweep. 888-957-9570 is the Chilton Autobody text line and the phone number. Continue to roll them in if you have any thoughts on last night's Sunday night football game. We got a lot to talk about today, and coming up in about 15 minutes, the best skis, active players in football with their last names ending in SKI. That's coming up in 15 minutes. But for now, let's get to You Love to See It, where I go around the NFL and pick out some plays where you look at the TV and you say, man, you love to see it. Let's get started. Little I Got Love by Nate Dogg. It's a great, great song. Let's get to the first play in You Love to See It. And this is going to be a combined play between, believe it or not, the Cowboys and the Vikings.
Second and goal. Dalton looking end zone. He throws. Oh, what a catch. C.D. Lamb for a Cowboys touchdown. Wow, looking over his left shoulder.
Gets it down. That's a touchdown.
Going to the ground. Gathers it in initially with one hand. A spectacular catch. Now third and goal. Ninth play of the drive. Cousins to the end zone. There is a flag.
Did he get his beat?
Catch was made by Thielen. It's ruled a touchdown.
Wow, another one-handed catch, Kenny.
Wow, one hand.
Working on Anthony Brown. One hand drags the beat.
Credit Fox for the audio. Just the commentators in disbelief on both plays. And the first touchdown was from CeeDee Lamb, rookie wide receiver for the Cowboys. I don't know how he caught that ball. He was angled what looked like halfway toward the ground, and somehow he was able to plant his right foot, turn his body, and turn around, catch the football, get his back to the ground. I don't know how CeeDee Lamb made that play. Then Adam Thielen, a little later on in the game, makes a one-handed catch right in the back right corner of the end zone, somehow manages to snag it and keep both feet in bounds. But you watch both of those plays, and those are plays that just make you say, you love to see it. The Cowboys win 31-28. Wait, what? Cowboys won 31-28? Yeah, that's exactly the reaction you had yesterday. That's the reaction I had too. Let's move on to the next play.
Herbert, rolling, looking, throwing, end zone, touchdown! Keenan Allen.
You just watched Hunter Henry go to the corner. I mean, Keenan Allen. And watch the, freeze it right there. You just look at the corner. He's in position, right? But look at the throw. It comes out, and as he gets his head around, it hits the receiver right in the chest. I mean, if you're Lamar Jackson, you say, what else do I have to do?
I don't know if it was Lamar Jackson playing corner, but credit CBS for the audio. Justin Herbert yesterday, a fantastic game for the Chargers. 37 for 49, 366 yards, and three touchdowns. I could go through the entire hour just playing highlights from Justin Herbert and what he did in that game, but him rolling out to his left and somehow planting his feet and squaring up, throwing to Keenan Allen. It was a seed. The cornerback didn't even expect it. I don't know how he even got that throw there. To me, that's just a play I watched, and that's when you think rookie quarterback who no one was really that high on. The focus was on when's Tua going to come along and Joe Burrow. Unfortunately, what happened to Joe Burrow, that really just, that sucks to see. But Herbert rolling out to his left, somehow squaring his shoulders, getting that throw off, and it was a seed. I mean, you could choose from a bevy of those throws, but there are a ton that you watched yesterday as the Chargers beat the Jets 34-28, and that Herbert pass, it makes you say, you love to see it, but there's one more from that game, which you love to see.
The Jets get a first down via the penalty. Gore to the end zone. Touchdown!
The call wasn't that long. It was a little more of a garbage time type of touchdown, but Frank Gore getting his first rushing touchdown of the year, doing it at that age, that's a play you say you love to see it. Let's move on to the next play.
Goes to Brown. Brown trying to wiggle free. Still fighting for it. Brown takes it all the way. Unbelievable effort.
Brown, we just got done talking about his ability to run after catch, caught. Tackled, basically, gets free. Now the other people, he'll be down. Boom, gets free again. They got to go for two. What a play.
Credit CBS for the audio. Now, A.J. Brown only had 62 yards receiving in this game for four receptions. They do have good corners for the Ravens, Marlon Humphrey and Marcus Peters. But A.J. Brown with the big man touchdown. I know everyone talks about DK Metcalf. He is the star second-year wide receiver. But don't sleep on A.J. Brown with the Titans. Him and Tannehill have something good cooking up. And when he has a short pass to the 10, not much is expected of it. Let me just play the beginning of that sound clip for you, and let's just hear how unsure that Jim Nance even thought that this play was going to be a thing.
Goes to Brown. Brown trying to wiggle free. Still fighting for it.
See, right after that, when he said wiggle free, he thought he was going to be done at that point. But from the 10, he manages to carry what felt like the entire Ravens defense into the end zone. They go to OT. Derrick Henry runs in the football. It's hard to play against Derrick Henry in the second half, but they win in OT, 30-24. The Tennessee Titans, as they move to 7-3 on the season, while the Ravens are 6-4. Let's move on to the next play that makes you say, you love to see it.
Play action from Rivers. Pass is caught by the rookie Pittman, coming off his best day. First touchdown for Pittman. 45 yards and his first score in the NFL.
Michael Pittman Jr., credit Fox for the audio, rookie wide receiver with the Indianapolis Colts. He started the year hurt, and it's taken him little week by week to get back to being that number one receiver that everyone wants him to be. All the talk is around guys like Ruggs, Judy, CeeDee Lamb in the first round of that draft, but Michael Pittman Jr., and now all the talk is obviously of Chase Claypool, rightfully so, but Michael Pittman Jr., he's been looking real good for the past couple of weeks for the Indianapolis Colts, and him getting that 45-yard touchdown yesterday. It's a play where you say, you love to see it. Let's move on to the last one, and it actually has to do with the same game. This is just a quick sound clip.
Good snap, good hold. Colts win it in overtime.
Credit Fox for that audio. The Colts get the win 34-31, but Rodrigo Blankenship knocking it in. winning the game for him, 34-31. Shout out to Rodrigo Blankenship getting the win in overtime after the Packers ended up fumbling the football along with the same time at Aaron Rodgers handling the final 2 minutes of that game, spiking the ball twice when he didn't need to. It looked very un-Aaron Rodgers like, but Rodrigo Blankenship knocking in the game winner for 39 yards. You love to see it. That'll do it for plays you love to see around the NFL. We do that every Monday at 5:25. But coming up next, this is the first leg of stupid power rankings that I'm doing this week. This is all birthed from the face shield power rankings that I did a couple of weeks ago. But coming up next, going to do the best players in football right now, active players with their last names ending in ski. SKI. That's coming up next. Stephen Langford did on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford.
888-957-9570 is the Chilton Auto Body text line and the phone number if you want to weigh in. Good morning, everyone. Stephen Langford in on the pregame show, leading you up until 6 o'clock. Then the morning roast with Kate Scott, Joe the Butcher Boy Shasky, and Bonte Hill will be taking you to start your morning at 6. But from the 925, you love to see the Cowboys actually getting a W for once. You'll love to see it. Okay, I don't know. I mean, sure. I guess I do. It's good. See, that the fact that they got that win over the Vikings when it seemed like the Vikings were on a roll and maybe they'll do something in the NFC. Maybe they could squeeze into a wild card spot. Now that they go and lose to the Cowboys, 31-28, just an overall odd football game. But from the 707, Derek Carr was on a roll last night. Raiders defense just can't stop anybody. I think there's very few things that are great about social media. You know, being able to interact with anyone, even celebrities. You know, for example, me on Twitter yesterday, you can follow me at Nice Guy Steven, by the way, if you want. But on Twitter yesterday, trying to confirm with Ted Nguyen of The Athletic on Twitter whether this interception from the Colts on the Packers was a trap five coverage in cover two that he talked about. And then him just responding, nah, it's just regular cover two sync technique. There's no trap five there. Saw something with trap five there, Ted. Thought I did. It turned out I didn't. Turned out it was just something I got way too excited about. But you could do things like that. And also memes of guys like Derek Carr yesterday. I think everyone knew when the camera panned over to Derek Carr sitting on the bench waiting for his next opportunity, and he's got the death stare. Like, that stare is how I'll assume that I looked when, I don't know, when in elementary school, when a kid skipped me in line for the chicken nuggets on Chicken Nugget Day. That's how I looked. The way that Derek Carr was looking. I don't know. I've never seen that look from Derek Carr in my life. He is making light of it. He posted an Instagram post a few hours ago with a filter on it, which makes it look even scarier. I saw someone, I thought it was an ode to The Undertaker, a really nice ode to The Undertaker, who survived, his 30th year in wrestling yesterday? Shout out to The Undertaker. And what did I see? What was the best one? Was when Sephora runs out of dark black eyeliner. But yeah, he was on a roll last night, Derek Carr. That's about for the past few weeks, you've been seeing him week by week get that confidence back up, and he clearly had it last night. He went toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes in week 5. It was a question of whether he would do it again, and from the first drive on, hearing all of these audibles that were being called, whether it was, you know, the James Harden, Chris Mullen, Purple Walrus was my favorite. Hunter Renfro, his nickname is now Purple Walrus. You're not going to tell me otherwise. But he's been doing that ever since. That's a John Gruden thing. That's not a Derek Carr thing. My favorite one was earlier on in the year. I think it was like week 2 when the audible that they called was Bruce Springsteen. And it was a run to the left. picturing John Gruden in the locker room going, drawing up plays, thinking of audible names and going, man, Bruce Springsteen, you know what song I love, man, is Born to Run. And themes like us, baby, we were born to run, man. I'm going to make that an audible. Like, I love thinking about that. Imagine what he was thinking when he's like James Harden and Chris Mullin. I'm like, what is he going to try and is Derek Carr trying to tell us something that he's trying to leave his team to go join his friends? Like, what's he trying to tell us here? Is he trying to tell us that he's going to reject a 2-year, $103 million contract extension? That's neither here nor there. Coming up right now is the first leg of my boneheaded power rankings. That's the official name I'm going to put on them. But tomorrow, and Wednesday leading up to Thanksgiving, just wanted to do some funny little power rankings and go through stuff that you may not notice in the NFL. So today, the first leg of boneheaded power rankings are the power rankings of guys in football, active guys in football, with their last name ending in ski, S-K-I. Let's get to it. Serious football music here, because this is serious business. Football players, active football players, and a coach with their last name ending in ski, S-K-I. Honorable mention, Sebastian Janikowski. If he didn't retire last season, which was a surprise, I had no idea it was just last year where he retired, Janikowski would be right up there at the top, but he gets an honorable mention. Mitch Wishnowsky of the San Francisco 49ers, he gets an honorable mention, but unfortunately, his last name ends in S-K-Y. They don't meet the requirements for our power rankings of guys in football whose last names end with ski. But let's get to number 7 here on this power ranking. Number 7, Gunnar Olszewski. Is that how you pronounce his name? New England Patriots wide receiver. Have you heard of this guy? Probably not, so buckle up. He was a corner at Bemidji State in Minnesota, and he won the NSIC Defensive Player of the Year in 2018. And you may be thinking, huh, he's the New England Patriots wide receiver. Why was he the defensive player of the year in that NSIC, the ever-popular NSIC conference? Why was he defensive player of the year there? Because he was a cornerback. He was a cornerback in college. And he worked out at rookie minicamp because he wasn't drafted. Bill Belichick clearly saw something in this guy. And now he is their kick returner. He's only had a couple of receptions on the year, 4 different runs, 2 receptions for 10 yards to be exact, but he's officially their kick returner now. So number 7 on my power rankings of guys in football with their last name ending in ski, Gunnar Olszewski. He is my number 7. Number 6, Mark Glowinski. Glowinski? Hopefully it's glow because that has something to do with the bit. Guard for the Indianapolis Colts. And after looking through his journey, talk about a glow up for Glowinski. Drafted in the 4th round by the Seattle Seahawks, started at left guard all 16 games his rookie season. Then he transitioned to right guard the next season, but lost his job to Ode Abushi after week 2. Later on in the year, Glowinski only worked his way down to 4th in the depth chart for Seattle and was waived later on in the season. But the Colts claimed him off of those waivers. Then he got his chance to start at right guard in 2018 in week 6. Then he started 9 of 11 games that year. Then after that, 100% of the snaps for both 2019 and up to this year in 2020. He ended up getting a 3-year contract worth $16.2 million. Mark Glowinski, know the name, had a couple of holding calls yesterday, one of them being crucial for the Colts. Luckily, the Colts got the win because Aaron Rodgers forgot how to run a 2-minute drill. But Mark Glowinski is number 6 on my power rankings of guys with their last names in football ending with ski. Number 5, Nick Kwiatkowski, Las Vegas Raiders linebacker. He was with the Bears. He was okay there.
But then he signed with the Raiders, had an injury earlier in the year, which was feared to be a torn pec. It didn't end up being a torn pec. He was put on IR for a few weeks, came back into the game, has the green dot on his helmet, and really, he has picked things up this year. He's officially the starting linebacker for the Raiders and seems to be a staple for that defense, who have yet to stop an offense fully. They did against the Broncos, though, so we're putting Nick Kwiatkowski, though, at number five on my boneheaded power rankings, this first leg being guys in football whose names end in ski, S-K-I. Number four, Kevin Stefanski, head coach for the Cleveland Browns. Now, say what you want about the Browns, but they are still 7-3 on the year. They have one of the easiest schedules going forward. We didn't think at the beginning of the season, we were looking at this team when they were, you know, 5-3, 5-2. We're like, that five-win team, I don't know if I put them up there with the other five-win teams among the NFL. But now they're 7-3, and there's nothing you can do about that. And it's no surprise that Kevin Stefanski, a guy coming from the offensive coordinator position in Minnesota, when they love to run the ball, it's no surprise that when they get Nick Chubb back and what they're doing with their offensive line, the Browns are actually one of the better running teams in football with Kareem Hunt at number two and Nick Chubb at number one. So Kevin Stefanski, number four on these boneheaded power rankings, the power rankings of guys in football with their last name ending in ski. Number three, if you're still tuned in, Steven Gostkowski, Tennessee Titans kicker. Fourth rounder, he took over for Adam Vinatieri, legend, in 2006 for the New England Patriots. And let's just list off the accolades here. Three-time Super Bowl champion, four-time Pro Bowler, two-time first-team All-Pro, the NFL 2010s All-Decade Team. He's part of the New England Patriots 2010s All-Decade Team, and he has an NFL record, 479 consecutive extra points made. I know I said active players 707, not coaches, but you know what? I mixed it up. I said guys at first, then I said players and ruined the bit. Kevin Stefanski, number four, though. But Steven Gostkowski is a legend, although this year hasn't been the hottest year. You'll wonder when they're eventually going to move on from Gostkowski and he will end up retiring. You wonder what's going to happen there. When is he going to retire to make way for the next Rodrigo Blankenship, like Adam Vinatieri did with the Indianapolis Colts? That remains to be seen. But Gostkowski has done enough in his career to make it to number three on my list of football guys with their last name ending in ski. Number two. Notice that I did not specify NFL. I said football guys with their last names ending in ski. Oh yeah, you guessed it. It's Chris Wondolowski for the San Jose Earthquakes. He's the MLS all-time leading goal scorer. But after what he did yesterday, I had him in the 3 or 4 range during that playoff game versus Sporting KC. But you know what? When you score the game-tying goal in the 97th minute, you do enough to move up in the boneheaded power rankings here. But Chris Wondolowski is number two, an absolute legend. Unfortunately, the Earthquakes couldn't get it done because they couldn't make a penalty kick. But that's number two on my list, Chris Wondolowski, San Jose Earthquakes. Now, you may guess who's number one. He's a Hall of Famer, a guy who retired. We thought he was done. Then, much like the Undertaker in the coffin, comes back to life. Cue the GIF on Twitter. Rob Gronkowski is the number one on my boneheaded power rankings with guys in football whose last names end in ski, in S-K-I. But Gronkowski is my number one. Need I say more? The dude's accolades, I can't even list all of them off. I mean, he's had the most offensive touchdowns in the first two seasons. That's tied with Randy Moss. Most seasons with 10-plus touchdowns by a tight end. He's had 5 most career average receiving yards per game among tight ends, 68.3. Most yards per target average among tight ends since 1992 at 9.9. First tight end to have 3 seasons with 10-plus touchdowns and 1,000-plus receiving yards. consecutive seasons with 10-plus touchdowns by a tight end three. He holds all these records, and he's done enough to make it to number one on my power rankings of guys in football whose last names end with ski. So let's do a quick recap here. Number seven, Gunnar Olszewski, New England Patriots wide receiver. Number six, Mark Glowinski, guard for the Indianapolis Colts. Number five, Nick Kwiatkowski. Number four, Kevin Stefanski. Number three, Steven Goskowski. Number two, Chris Wondolowski. And number one, Rob Gronkowski. Wow, I think we learned something today, people. A lot of guys with their last name ending in ski. I was going to do Owski, guys with their last names ending in Owski, but that power ranking would have been a little anticlimactic because there's only like three or four guys. But in the league, there are seven different guys in the football world with their last names ending in ski. So shout out to all of them, but there's no better ski in the world of football than Rob Gronkowski. If I did this all time, a lot of people were throwing out different names. Romanowski, Janikowski, Wisniewski. There's a lot of different guys with their last names ending in ski, and I'm sure you can name a lot of them. Feel free to chime in, 888-957-9570, the Chilton Auto Body text line, with your all-time last name skis in football. Wow. I think we've learned something today. First leg of the boneheaded power rankings coming up tomorrow, Jacked Punters. The power ranking of jacked punters. So tune in at 5:40 for another leg of boneheaded power rankings. Before we get to anything else, I do want to close out the show just with some thoughts about what's going on around the NBA. But I do just want to give you an update real quick on what's going on with the NFL and their playoff picture, because yesterday, I think, shook things up just a little bit. For one, the Ravens with their loss to the Titans, moving on to 6-4 on the year. And remember, right now it is the first seven, but it could move on to the first eight teams that go on to the playoffs. But as of right now, the Teddy Bruschi from the 5-1. Oh, we're getting Jerry Reiske from the 707. Good one. I like that. From the 510, how about a little Teddy Bruschi? I can't really count Bruschi, though. Doesn't his name end in a C-H-I? Can't count Teddy Bruschi. I was thinking about that yesterday with guys with their last names ending in S-K-I. Again, I would put Wisniewski on the list. Big fan of Wisniewski. But the fact that his last name ends with Y, it's just, it doesn't fit. You don't fit the requirements for these boneheaded power rankings. Sorry about that, Mitch. But what's going on in the AFC right now? Obviously, you got the Steelers at 10-0 and the Chiefs at 9-1. They are the class of the AFC. But you got the Bills and the Colts. The Bills at 3 and the Colts at 4. Then the Titans and the Browns. All of those teams are 7-win teams. I like the Bills right now, but their defense hasn't been as good as everyone expected. The Colts, I really like the Colts team and what they did. Their defense is one of the best in the NFL, but can Phillip Rivers put them over the top when it comes to playoffs? Will the emergence of Michael Pittman Jr. as the weeks go on, will that help? Will Jonathan Taylor become the running back that everyone thought? I will tell you this, the Indianapolis Colts do have Mark Glowinski at right guard. Can't say left guard. Quentin Nelson has that spot. They do have Glowinski, though. That could put him over the top because he's number six on my power rankings of guys with the last names ending in ski. But the Titans and the Browns are 7-3, and the Browns have one of the easiest remaining schedules in the NFL going forward. So I wouldn't be surprised if they are ranked anywhere from 3 through 5 going forward. Then the Raiders right now are the 7th. They're just squeaking by the Baltimore Ravens, who are 8th. Then you have the Dolphins, who are 6-4. Everyone last week had dubbed the Dolphins a playoff team. Then they go out against the Broncos. Tua Tagovailoa gets benched after being sacked 6 times, but Brian Flores said straight up that it's not even him getting benched because he's afraid of him getting hurt. It's not like that Kyle Shanahan description against the Dolphins where he said he just wants to take Jimmy Garoppolo out because Garoppolo's hurt. It's not like that. It was because he wasn't playing well enough. So he decided to take him out. Now, next week, Tua is going to be the starter, but there are some questions there with them at 6-4. Then the Broncos, the Pats, Chargers, Texans, Bengals, Jags, Jets. I think 10 through 16, you can take all those teams out of the running. So really, 3 through 9 is going to be something to pay attention to because the Browns and the Raiders both have relatively easy schedules going forward. And then in the NFC, 8-2 for the Saints, not a great one seed. Seattle Seahawks, 7-3. They haven't played great lately. The Green Bay Packers are 7-3. They just lost to the Colts. The Eagles are 3-6 at the 4 seed. That's what it's going to be in the NFC East, is who is going to match up, or that's who it's going to be in the NFC. Who can match up against the team from the NFC East? Who can get that 4 or 5 spot? Because it looks like that's what it's looking like right now. Who can get that 5 spot right now? The Tampa Bay Buccaneers will be playing the Philadelphia Eagles if the season ended today. And I think we all know who would win that matchup. Thanks so much for joining me, everyone. I'll be back tomorrow at 5 a.m. on the pregame show with another boneheaded power rankings second leg. And that tomorrow is jacked kickers. So stay tuned for that. And there's another episode of Black Hole Sundays coming out today. You can find that on the radio.com app. But coming up next, the Morning Roast with Kate Scott, Joe the Butcher Boy Shasky, and Bonta Hill. Thanks so much for joining me, everyone. I'll be back tomorrow at 5 a.m.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.